You're listening to Last Word Radio, where you get the last word.
It's gonna be a football game tonight, now.
No doubt.
It's gonna be a football game
here. Okay.
I done been here.
All right, let's go, baby. Hey.
Play clock at 5. Pass is intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler. Unreal.
And the Ohio State Buckeyes are the first national champions of the playoff era.
Ladies and gentlemen, football to football.
Your host, Sean Garmer, Gary Vaughn, and Randy Isbell.
All right, it's another football to football. And yes, I know it's hasn't been very long since you heard us last, Folly, but hey, at least we're here on the night we're supposed to be this time. So, either way, we'll be doing a post-game for the Titans and Jaguars Thursday night football game here in just a little bit, and we'll also, of course, be doing our Week 11 preview, talking about those big college football games, and there are quite a few happening this weekend, and also, of course, ending it on what we're looking forward to the most. And of course, I'm not doing this on myself. I am your host, Sean Garmer. With me today, Mr. Gary Vaughn.
That guy who's still trying to figure out if he likes those rush uniforms. Those, you know, it's interesting to me.
And Mr. Randy Isbell.
Just like the Golden State Warriors, I'm still perfect.
He's a perfect 10.
Yep, you could say that, certainly. We didn't talk about this on Tuesday, and I forgot. It's my fault, but it's been a little while now, but still we want to send out our condolences and all that stuff happening, you know, to all the stuff that happened in France. And it is kind of scary because, you know, we're a sports podcast, and, you know, normally when football's not in season, this podcast kind of reverts to talking about soccer. And, you know, those are some pretty big European soccer matches that are going on. It was playoffs to see who's going to be in the Euros, and to have games like that being affected by terrorist attacks is terrible. And, you know, it sucks that, like, a game that's, you know, so revered as soccer or whatever has to be affected by people that are just trying to be terrible. So, thankfully, you know, not a whole lot happened as far as what happens in the stadium and all that. And, you know, those plans were sort of thwarted. But, you know, Gary and I kind of talked a little bit about this when on the wrestling podcast, Randy, but, you know, with all the stuff happening in those stadiums, and just, you know, we all go to sporting events and stuff like this. Does that make you think about when you go to a sporting event now, that it could happen to you, or you do just not think about it?
Nah, to be honest, I mean, obviously, if you go to an event, like, right after an event like this goes down, I'm sure it goes in the back of your mind, but I don't know. I mean, to me, when I go to a sporting event, and I went to a few this summer, it's just more of a just let your mind go and go and enjoy the sport. And like I said, I watched a few baseball games over the summer in a few different stadiums during a road trip. And it's just a nice way to get away from things. And it really sucks that, you know, there are people in this world, and it's not just that group. I mean, there's several around the world that just take it upon themselves to, you know, mess something like that up, and obviously, I mean, take lives and ruin others, and it's a messed up world we live in sometimes, and sometimes you forget that.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I agree with what Randy's saying here too, and, you know, everybody points a finger at certain groups, especially now with what's going on, but, I mean, you just, like, take a look at school shootings, you take a look at random violence, and it's by any group, any people, any, you know, form of fashion of humanity. For me personally, I don't worry about it too much. I'm right with Randy. When you do have something big like this happen, you do question, is this a good idea? Maybe I should kind of wait till it cools off a little bit or whatever. But that's just, you know, a thought. I usually don't even worry about that, especially if I already bought a big ticket. But, you know, also I want to say this too is, you know, when you're going to these events and you see a lot of different security measures taking place, I think your mind's going to be at ease because the NFL you saw it on Sunday. They boosted their security way up. And in fact, from what I'm hearing, they had double perimeters. They had one perimeter, people to go through checkpoints, and then they had a second checkpoint for people to go through. So I think people will feel safe.
I mean, and it sucks because, you know, it's like hard. It costs a lot of money to be able to keep that up all the time. People, you know, the people that, you know, I just can't imagine people that do this, but they do complain about, well, why isn't it like this all the time and whatever. So, you know, that costs a lot of money to be able to have all those checkpoints there all the time for any kind of regular game. And, I mean, they already beef up security a lot as it is. You know, used to, you'd go over to games as a kid and it'd be nothing. It'd just be people patting you down and that's it, right? You know.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's a lot more there's a lot more to do now with that, and that's the way it should be, sort of. You know, you shouldn't take things like that lightly. So I mean, it is what it is. It's sad that these things happen, and we have to talk about them, and we have to talk about them on a sports show, you know, because that's our, like Randy was saying, that's kind of our escape from life. And sometimes when they meet, it's not always a great thing, you know. Getting away from that aspect of it, let's talk about this Titans and Jaguars game that for the first half wasn't anything, you know, great or whatever. And I don't know, I mean, the whole game wasn't that great, to be honest, but at least it came down to the wire, as a lot of these primetime games have for the most part. And that's kind of what you like to see when you're taking the time out of your night to watch it on a Monday or a Thursday, that they are close. And it was. I mean, both Blake Bortles did his normal let's make a mistake. In fact, he made two of them, almost cost his team the game, but thankfully, his defense kind of bailed him out. Marcus Mariota ran for a touchdown, didn't throw any. And then it was one of his backup tight ends that made the big mistake that kind of wound up costing him the game. And then they even had a shot with 5 seconds left at the 23-yard line, and they couldn't get it in there. But any thoughts on this at all, or?
Well, this is your typical, you know, Thursday night game. It's not the prettiest thing, especially when you have two younger quarterbacks, no time to prepare. It's pretty ugly, just a lot of drops, a lot of miscues, and it's just whoever can survive, you know, gets the win. It didn't help the fact that the Jaguars uniforms might be the ugliest things I've seen in a very, very long time. I love the gift that I saw on Facebook after it that said that we just watched a game between Avatar and Goldust. I think that was that was pretty spot on. But no, this is like, I kind of brought it up in our recap of last week when we talked about this game. You know, it's going to be ugly. It's not going to be a very high scoring game. But I like the Jaguars at home. I think not only are they a better team, but you know, the home team on Thursday night, it seems to work out, and now all of a sudden, if you're Jacksonville, you're sitting here a half a game out of the division lead at 4-6. You know, you're rooting for my Jets and the Colts to lose on the road against Atlanta. Both things could happen. I mean, they're both most likely going to happen. So all of a sudden, here you are, you know, tied for the division with 6 games to go. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, I mean, there's really not a whole lot here. Once again, another Thursday night game, you know, where, you know, there's really nothing huge, pretty average game. I thought, you know, there are some better Thursday night games than this for sure this year. This was not my favorite. I really didn't get a chance to check out a lot of this game, to be honest with you. But from what I saw, I was not thrilled or entertained very much, let's be honest. But, you know, I'm glad that we did get a chance to see a ending that was, you know, worthy of SportsCenter.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people were talking about David Cobb. He finished with a total of negative 3 yards. So, so much for that debut and him being the, you know, savior as far as the running game goes. Antonio Andrews had him a decent day, had around 70 yards or so, and he was kind of, I mean, that's the thing, too. Poor Marcus Mariota had no one to throw to, aside from Delanie Walker. I mean, he had like 3 tight ends lining up out there. I mean, just, you got to feel bad for him at that point. Both of his two big, or his two main receivers are out, you know. He's having to throw to his backs, to everybody he can at that point. You know, Doyle Green Beckham's kind of getting double covered because that's his only real receiver he has out there. I think he also had a drop that would have been big, if I'm not mistaken. It took a while for the two Allens to get involved, but Allen Robinson made himself some big catches in this game. That I thought was kind of, he was really the like hero of the as far as the passing game goes. Julius Thomas, I thought the interception by Bortles, Julius Thomas didn't try enough to actually get over there and maybe at least knock it out of his way. He seemed like he kind of just stopped and watched him intercept the ball. I didn't get that. And also, your mustache was terrible, dude. Like, you're too young behind a mustache. Like, it's just. But, yeah, I mean, he did score a touchdown. So, you know, any Julius Thomas owners, there you go. You got a touchdown out of that. So, I mean, you know, the big thing now is do you think that the Jaguars actually legitimately have a shot now at maybe winning this division with how many games Hasselbeck has to play?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, not the easiest schedule. I mean, they still have Atlanta and at New Orleans, you know, still coming up. They get San Diego next week and then a bunch of division matchups. But the way this division has been going, and like you said, Matt Hasselbeck's going to have to probably be in there for a little while and get things going. I know he's shown that he can throw the ball pretty well still this season. But, I mean, in Houston, I'm still not sold on. I mean, it looks like maybe a TJ Yates sit. Sighting this week, and yeah, I mean, the door is wide open for Jacksonville. They just have to figure out how to get rid of those mistakes and become a more solid team.
I mean, Houston had to go pick up Brandon Whedon, of all things. So, you know, that should tell you enough right there. Gary, I mean, what do you think? Supposedly they have the second easiest schedule in all of the NFL remaining.
I definitely don't think you can count them out. I really don't, because they've shown that they can overcome. They've shown that they can be aggressive when they need to be aggressive, and they also showed that, you know what, their defense is not always perfect, but if they can find a way, they will stop you. So I think against anybody in this division, they're as worthy of it as, you know, any of the other teams, including the Colts.
Both defenses are pretty well. They both sacked each quarterback 4 times and had some turnovers. So, you know, Titans defense still, man, they're pretty damn good. They're the things keeping Tennessee. But is Tennessee's season over now? 2-8. I mean, even with this division the way it is.
I was gonna say in any other division, absolutely. But with this one, you just never know. But yeah, I do think it's over. But that's fine with them. I don't think they really looked at this season as, you know, any kind of a playoff run. This was the year to get, you know, Mariota some NFL experience and kind of figure out where their holes are and then go into this next draft and get him the weapons he needs and fill a few holes and take that next step next year. But, yeah, I mean, at 2-8, you can't expect them to run the table the rest of the way.
Gary, you kind of agree?
Yeah, I do too. I mean, I'm right there with him.
All right, well, I think that kind of does it for our Thursday night recap talk here. So I think we can move on to actually talking about the games that are happening in Week 11. And as you know, we talked about last week, there are quite a few quarterbacks that are kind of either re-debuting in the case of Matt Hasselbeck, or making their debuts, or whatever it is. So there'll be plenty to talk about here. But let's start about with one of those quarterbacks that are making their re-debuting in the season. Tony Romo is going into Miami and taking on the Dolphins along with the rest of the Dallas Cowboys. Gary, I mean, this is a pretty much do-or-die situation for the Cowboys here, as will be almost every game going forward now. What should people watch for from Tony Romo in this game?
I think they're going to have to watch for him not being crazy with the ball. I think as soon as he comes out, people are going to think he's going to be gunslinging. I don't think so. I think you're going to see him play smart, play a little small ball here, you know, make sure he finds Jason Witten. You know, he's going to do that as much as possible, especially with this Dolphins defense and their safeties not being great. But I think you're also going to see him use Lucky Whitehead, and they're also going to have Trey Williams in this game. And I think he's going to use those guys to kind of get, you know, toss the ball off over on a quick pass over and just get things done short. And then I think in the end, when he gets more comfortable, you'll see him get the ball out deeper. But I think people are going to hold their expectations if they're expecting him to gunsling right off the bat.
So, but where, you know, speaking of that, where do you put Tony Romo as far as the starting list of quarterbacks here? Like, what, I mean, who do you start him over? Who do you not start him over?
Well, you're definitely not starting him over any of the elite quarterbacks in this league for sure. I mean, you know, if he was playing his, you know, fifth game in this regular season, then you'd be like, okay, I can put him up there in the starter. But I think he's about mid-range. You could probably play him over some of your lesser quarterbacks. But, I mean, for me personally, if you got Tony Romo, you play him, but he's right now a quarterback too. I think he's going to have a good week, but you also got to remember this guy hasn't played football in 7 games. So saying that, you know, the rust may last longer than a half. You know, you don't want to get this guy on your roster if you know that you got somebody better that can score you points this week.
Well, here you go. Let's just use this game as an example. Would you start Tony Romo or Ryan Tannehill?
I think I would play Romo over Tannehill only because I think Tannehill is more he's going to probably get rushed a little bit more in this game, and I also think that he's more susceptible to interceptions this week.
Well, that being said, Randy, you know, we saw what they did against the Eagles. They were really defensive minded. They ran the ball. They did some screens and got the receivers involved there. If they do what they did against the Eagles, they win against the Cowboys.
Yeah, absolutely. I think their mindset in this game is get as much pressure on Tony Romo and try to make him as uncomfortable as they possibly can. You know, his first game back after a long hiatus, you know, see if he's worried about that shoulder. See if you can just start getting in his head if you don't, you know, get to him at all. And just start making him looking over his shoulder and making him worry. And on the offensive side, exactly what they did against Philadelphia, a lot of running the ball. I mean, you can't run the ball that well against Dallas. They do have a good run defense. But try to get a running game going. Use those screens. You know, just kind of control the ball. Make sure you keep it a long field for Dallas. Don't turn the ball over. And I think if they do that, they could come out victorious against Dallas.
That's pretty much the blueprint. I mean, I don't know that you can get any better. I mean, Romo's going to be better than Bradford and Sanchez by moving away from that rush. But it's, you know, if that offensive line, which hasn't been the great offensive line that everybody's been touting at the beginning of the season, you know, it doesn't block for Romo, it could be a long day. But let's go ahead and do this. It's in Miami. Let's make that prediction.
I'm sorry, guys, I can't go with Dallas here. I know if there's any chance to make the playoffs, they have to win this game. But give me Miami at home.
I'm going to take Dallas just because I'm just going to take them until they finally win one.
Miami at home is not a home field advantage. I'm sorry, they've been bad at home this year. Dallas.
I want to say this. Sean just said home. They haven't been at home that much this year. Go check out SeatGeek. See how much those tickets cost. That's probably the most expensive ticket in the NFL this week. It's ridiculous. $200 for like bad seats.
Yeah, it's terrible. I was thinking about going. I was like, nope, not paying that much. I could have paid for a better seat for WrestleMania than watching that. I'll just watch it at home. Thank you. But let's move on now to some other games here on the schedule. Namely, let's stay. Well, we don't stay in Florida, but let's stay with a Florida team, Tampa Bay. The Bucks taking on the Philadelphia Eagles. They got the Cowboys last week. They get the Eagles this week. Gary, can Tampa Bay, who have the longest streak in the NFL of not winning consecutive games back-to-back, can they make it 2 out of 3 against the NFCs?
You know, I don't discount it. I know people are going to say you're crazy, but I mean, I really can't discount it. I've seen some decent things out of this team. I've seen them be able to, you know, stop offenses at times, and I really feel like that they've got a defense that's not great, definitely not a wonderful defense, but they do have some firepower. They were able to definitely rush the Dallas Cowboys last week. We saw that for sure, and we've seen them get after some other teams. I mean, they took the New York Giants down to the wire. I mean, and a lot of people hold the New York Giants up there to a certain extent. So I'm looking at this and I'm saying to myself, you know, this team could beat any of these NFC East teams, really, to be honest with you, because most teams in this whole league can, though. I don't know. I think they have a shot.
I think you're thinking about the Redskins that they took to the
wire. Are you sure? The Giants? Did the Giants whip them? I remember the Giants game. We were sitting there.
The Giants haven't played them yet.
You sure? Because me and you were sitting there talking about, man, what did Tampa Bay do? They just...
No, they played the Giants. It was close to the end, and then that late touchdown.
Oh, yeah. No, that's right. I'm dumb.
Yeah. No, that's okay. No,
so they would be 2-4 against the NFC. I don't know why I couldn't think. I thought they hadn't. For some reason, I had a brain fart.
It's okay. No, I just remember very distinctly us talking about that.
Yeah, no, because that was the week before the Cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
This is their third NFC East team in a row here. But, you know, Randy, you're very familiar with the quarterback, or the person who's going to be the quarterback for the Eagles this week, Mr. Mark Sanchez. What does he bring different from Sam Bradford?
Namely, his mobility. I think he can move around the pocket a lot better than Sam Bradford, and actually can run with the ball a lot better than I think a lot of people think about when you think of Sanchez. You don't really think of him escaping the pocket and running. I'm not talking like he has crazy speed, but he knows if he sees a hole, you know, he's going to go out and get his 8, 9, 10 yards. And I think that's something Tampa Bay has to worry about. You have to make sure you contain Sanchez, which is something you never had to worry about with Sam Bradford. Yes, you know, Sanchez is going to make his mistake or two. He's just prone to do that. But I think him being able to buy a little bit more time is going to allow his receivers to get a little open. So I actually like the Eagles receivers in this matchup if you're looking fantasy-wise.
Well, that being said, Gary, I have a feeling like, you know, the running backs have been the most consistent thing about both these teams for a number of weeks. Are they the biggest starts in this game?
You know what? You know, I think I'm kind of with Randy on the receiving core of the new the Philadelphia. I really feel like Philadelphia's receivers have a great opportunity this week, especially with a guy like Sanchez. Yes, you know, Sanchez has been on the bench, but this guy, you know, did pretty well for himself last year and had a pretty good rapport with the receivers, and I don't think he's lost that. So I think really the running game will be okay. I think that really, though, I'm looking more in the passing game. I think even Jameis Winston can have some success here, because we've known that the Eagles have not exactly been stopping everybody when it comes to the pass. But the running game, I'm not sold that it's going to be the better of the two.
All right, fair enough. Well, who do we have winning here?
Listen, Tampa Bay's improving. You know, they've won 3 of their last 5 games, which is better than their previous 3 wins, which took them 23 games to reach. But I don't see them going into Philadelphia, even with Mark Sanchez, and winning. So give me Philadelphia.
I got Philadelphia here, too. I think that Tampa can keep a close game with them. I don't think the Eagles are going to run away with it right away, if they do run away with it at all. But I still see them edging out the Tampa Bay Bucks.
Yeah, Philadelphia at home, it's really hard to, you know, that's a tough place to go and play, even with Sanchez. I mean, yeah, he can make some mistakes that could cost you the game, but so can Jameis Winston. We saw it against Dallas. I've got to go with Philadelphia here. Much it pains me to do. So moving on to we're going to stay in the NFC East here for another one more game. Washington is going on to Carolina to take on the Panthers. How can Washington stop Cam Newton, if at all?
Get off the field and go home. That's about it. No, I don't like Washington's chances here, especially, you know, defensively trying to stop Carolina. They're not the best against the run, so see a lot of Jonathan Stewart and then a lot of Cam Newton play actions, and then good luck. I mean, I still cannot believe this is the 10th time Carolina has taken the field and no team has put 9 guys on Greg Olsen. It baffles me, but it's every time, you know, Cam Newton will drop back and then just we'll find a safety net, Greg Olsen, and it'll work.
Yeah, but the other receivers are getting...
They're improving, but still, for the fact that how he gets a catch ever when, you know, he's the main guy, it still baffles me. But the team is getting better and better each and every week. The defense is strong. So this is not going to be pretty. This, to me, is like the biggest lock of the week to me, which, of course, means Washington's going to win by 20. But I don't see them slowing down Cam Newton at all.
I think I'm a little bit higher on the Redskins defense. Now, I'm not saying that they're going to be able to beat Cam Newton. I'm not saying that at all. I'll just say it this way. I still think that the Panthers have the advantage here, but I do think that this Redskins defense has shown us in the past that they are not slouches, that they can be effective if they can game plan right. That's the question. In this game, are they going to game plan right? Are they going to be able to watch Olsen? Are they going to be able to control Jonathan Stewart, which I think they're going to be able to control Jonathan Stewart to an extent. I think they may even can contain Cam from running too much. They may actually pressure Cam a little bit here. I just am not sold that they're going to be able to beat him on a consistent basis. I think Cam Newton will find ways to get the ball out to, you know, whoever it may be, even a Tolbert. If he's got to dump some balls off to Tolbert to make sure he stays alive, I'm okay with that if they're getting yards, and I think they will. So I'm not sold this is a runaway game at all for Carolina. I think this is another tough sledding. But I do think that, you know, Cam Newton is going to have an okay day. Fantasy-wise, I'm not looking for a thrill for a Cam Newton.
All right, so speaking of slowing him down, I'll ask both of you to see what you think, because I just looked up the stat. Carolina has scored 27 or more points in each of their last 7 games. Do they top that again, or does Washington find a way to keep him under that total?
I'm going to surprise everybody. I'm going to go under.
I'm going to say they get right at 27 points.
That would be the fifth time they do that, which is just crazy. But, yeah, I'm going to say they go over in it.
Well, so that's my question, Gary. Over under 3.5 passing touchdowns in this game, since, you know, we've seen Cam Newton run them in a lot, but we haven't, you know, sometimes we see him not have a passing touchdown at all. Sometimes we see him have a lot of them. And Kirk Cousins, that's seemingly his thing right now.
If it's strictly passing 3.5 touchdowns, I'll take the under. But if it was overall, I'd take the over.
No, it's passing, so you're saying.
Yeah, so I'm saying under for that.
Under.
Oh, for both teams? Yeah, I still say wait, 3.5 touchdowns for the entire game. Let me get that clear.
Touchdowns.
Yeah, but for both teams combined, as I'm making sure I get this correct.
That's what I'm saying. Like, okay. That doesn't include Cam Newton running 2 of them in. That includes only passing.
That's only passing. I don't know. I'll take the over on that one. Maybe not much more, though, honestly. I could see Greg Olsen with two passing touchdowns. I could, and then of course I think Kirk Cousins at least gets one somewhere in there.
What do you think, Randy?
You know, I'll go with him. I'll stay over probably two or three for Cam Newton and two for Kirk Cousins. He's definitely red hot lately. You know, definitely putting up points. Obviously torched a terrible New Orleans defense last week. They played pretty well against both the Jets and Tampa Bay in the last couple weeks. I mean, it didn't do much against New England. But, yeah, I'll say over as well.
I'll go with under on that one. So do you start Jonathan Stewart or Matt Jones this week?
I think you start Jonathan Stewart. I mean, I think that he can have some success. I mean, I think you could see maybe 80 yards and a touchdown. I don't think that he's going to run away with this game, but I think he'll have some success pounding the ball away.
All right. Fair enough. So who do we have winning? Carolina, everybody?
Oh, yeah. Lock it up.
But definitely Carolina.
If we had points, we could definitely put the 10 on that game. So,
Well, with the NFL, it'd be, what, 14 this week?
Mm-hmm.
I'd put the 14 on Carolina.
So, yeah, Randy, I mean, we've got a game of some, you know, lower teams on the totem pole here with St. Louis going into Baltimore with Case Keenum at quarterback. I know Gary's, like, favorite guy. Does that mean that the strategy is simple right here for the Ravens? You put in a million people in the box to stop Todd Gurley and see what Case Keenum can do?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's been the strategy the last few weeks anyways, which is why Nick Foles has started. I mean, I think that the coaching staff has shown or seen that Nick Foles just can't do anything because the defenses have realized that the name St. Louis Gurley is legit. He's the offense. So you load the box and you make the quarterback beat you. Nick Foles couldn't beat you. Now they're going to see if Case Keenum can. And I have no idea if he can. I know Gary is very high on him. I'm very curious to see how he does. But yeah, that is your go-to thing is 7-8 people in the box for most of this game.
All right, Gary, here's the big question. Over under 200 yards and 2 touchdowns for Case Keenum.
I wouldn't say over 200 yards. I think that's where I'll go under. I think this kid's going to do okay, but I think they're going to try to keep him more balanced. I think he's going to try to play it smart because if he goes over 200, you're going to add some interceptions to that. This is his first game in. He's getting used to everybody, but I think you get the 2 touchdowns for sure. I would say $175, maybe $150 and 2 touchdowns. But they're going to have to depend on Gurley somewhere in this. Even if they do load the box, Gurley's got to make things happen for them to win this game. So that's where I'm at with Case Keenum, though.
I'm surprised Gary's not telling me he's going to get like 400 yards. And
oh, well, you know, we know Joe Montana took a while to ramp up to that. Come on. Just saying, you know, you can't just do it day one.
Hey, you never know. If you're that great, you could. Well, I mean, the Ravens defense is that bad.
I'll say this way real quick. You said load up the box. That works to me in Case Keenum's favor because their secondary is not anything to be scared of, really. So,
yep. And is there anyone that you start on the Ravens besides Joe Flacco, maybe? Gary?
You start with Flacco. People are not high on Crockett Gilmore, but I still say you got to take the risk because, I mean, he's one of the go-to guys for Flacco. Aiken, I'm not very high on this week at all. I just don't think it's there. So, yeah, I agree. I mean, I think you're taking a risk with Gilmore, but I would be willing to take it. But, yeah, Flacco's pretty much the only guy that you can really depend on probably. And that's
think the Rams shut down Forsett then?
Yeah, I do. I'm very high on the Rams defense, and I feel like they can actually stop him. They may not be able to stop Langford in the passing game, but I don't think they're going to have to worry too much. I think they'll be okay against Forsett.
All right, well, who do you have?
I'm going with the St. Louis Rams. Case Keenum gets his first victory.
I'm going to say the Rams, too.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I'm hesitant a little bit, but when you're Baltimore and your only win in your last five is against San Diego, which is the only team that finds a way to lose better than you, and I just can't go for you. Baltimore just is one of the best in the league history of just finding weird ways to lose games. So give me St. Louis.
All right, so we move on to another matchup where there's a new quarterback in town, and an old quarterback will be at home facing a former team. Not the first matchup we're going to be having like that this week. Jay Cutler, Randy, is quietly having a very good season.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's funny because anytime he struggles, you know, I mean, all of us are quick to just start ripping on him. I mean, obviously his contract is the main reason why, but you know, he's went out there, you know, he hasn't had Forte the last few weeks, and Langford's fit in really well, and Alshon Jeffrey has been banged up most of the years, and he hasn't really even had him to really rely on, and he's just gone out there and quietly put up a pretty decent season. I don't think you could say the 4-5 record is on him. I think it's on the defense. I think if he was on most any other team, they'd have a winning record. So absolutely. I mean, Jay Cutler is definitely turning some heads and has shown that he is the right person to be their quarterback now.
All right. Well, Gary, true or false, Brock Osweiler will be the reason the Broncos win or lose this game. So you're either praising him if they win or you're blaming him if they lose.
I'm going true on that. I really feel that, you know, people really point at the quarterback no matter what, but I think in this game he is going to be the difference between them winning this game, because I don't think you can depend on that Denver running game.
Or you won't be on the defense not doing what they normally do, nothing like that?
I'm not really concerned about the defense. I think if anything happens here, I think it's going to be, did he throw it? Two interceptions. Did he, you know, not, you know, have a good game passing wise? You know, what depends on that. Decision making is going to be huge in this one.
All right, fair enough. Anything on that front, Randy? Are you're on the same page with Gary here?
I hate to put it on him like that, but I'm kind of in the same boat as Gary. I do think the defense plays pretty well. They may give up more points than we're used to from them just because Chicago is red hot. But I do think it's either Brock Osweiler goes out there and puts up a pretty good game and they win, or he makes a big mistake and costs them the game.
Do you start Zach Miller over anybody?
You know, Zach Miller has done a great job, and he's been performing at a high level, but am I going to start him over Antonio Gates? Probably not. I think that you've got to keep your expectations about mid-range for Zach Miller. As successful as he's been since, maybe three games, you also have to take into consideration that there might be some drop-off there. So if you do play him at a risk.
All right, so who's winning this game?
I'm going Denver on this one. I think they're going to pull out a victory.
A stat I just saw in a quick trivia for both of you. I just want to see what you guys guess. Brock Osweiler has 305 career passing yards. The man he's replacing, Peyton Manning, has thrown for at least 305 yards in a game how many times?
Ooh. Sean?
I'm going to say 40.
40, that's a good number. I'll say 45.
93 times.
Woo!
But no, give me the Bears. They're hotter. Denver's struggling even with Peyton. I don't think Osweiler does that much difference. So give me Chicago.
Yeah, I'm going to say Chicago too. I think they've got... It's going to be rough against the Denver defense because they know they're going to have to do a lot more than even when they're with Peyton. Maybe not. Maybe Osweiler does a lot better. I was mistaken on Tuesday. The comparison that I heard was not Kirk Cousins, it's Matt Schaub. And at one point, Matt Schaub was actually pretty good. He wasn't bad all the time. We just remember those years where he was really terrible, but which wouldn't be too bad for him. But I think that, you know, the Bears defense seems to have figured something out. And I'm not saying they're all of a sudden world beaters or anything, but they'll be okay enough. They're going to be pouncing on anything that, you know, they can. I think they'll get some turnovers. That is going to make it hard for Denver to try to repeat the same thing. Now, we know Jay Cutler likes to throw some interceptions here and there, too, but this is what's going to be interesting. Of who can the Broncos lock away? Are they locking away? We saw last week the Rams kind of took Jeffrey away, and then you had Zach Miller and Jeremy Langford go crazy. So do you do the same thing this week if you're the Broncos, and does that same thing happen? Who knows? But I'm still going to say the Bears this one. So moving along again, we have Randy's Jets. I think that's the inverse. They're in Houston for this one.
Yes, it's in Houston.
What is Houston's strategy for this game, knowing you have TJ Yates? What are you trying to focus on there, Gary?
You know, if you're Yates and you're trying to win this game, you're really trying to figure out, you know, what can you do to, you know, make sure you're not putting the ball in harm's way, because this entire defense is dangerous. Not only are those cornerbacks scary, but, you know, you've got to watch out for, you know, all the, you know, safeties. And, of course, those linebackers are not, you know, absent from taking takeaways. So I think what you're looking at is trying to make some smart decisions, maybe find the guys closest to you and not so much deep. I think he had some six last week going deep, but I just don't think this week it's going to be right there for him. Hopkins is kind of, you know, I think he's, doesn't he have an injury, if I'm not wrong? Is he kind of hampered? I heard that he had a slight problem in practice, so that hurts you immediately. So you're looking for your tight end, you're looking for your running backs, and then maybe you look in other places. But I think this is a difficult game for him. I just don't see a whole lot of success.
He'll be on Revis Island, and that's going to be rough.
Yeah, exactly. And you, even healthy, you may not be looking his way. So this, to me, for a quarterback, this is a challenge. And it's a challenge that you've got to find ways during the game to see what you can get away with. And so I can't really say that I have the perfect answer for him. But, you know, hopefully he does play it smart.
Well, that being said, Randy, we saw what the Texans defense did against Andy Dalton and the Bengals. And we know what the Jets can do. Over under 3.5 sacks for both teams' defenses.
That's not even just what they did against the Bengals. It's what they did against Tennessee the week before. Crazy stat I saw while looking at research for this. The Texans haven't given up a touchdown in 10 straight quarters. So they are red hot right now, which is huge for them, you know, trying to win their division. As far as the sacks go, it's tough for me to say over just because it is so tough to sack Ryan Fitzpatrick. He finds a way to get rid of the ball. The Jets have only been sacked 10 times this season, and only 7 times was it Ryan Fitzpatrick. So it's just, he's really elusive in there, and he knows when to get rid of it. His pocket presence, great. But both teams do sack the quarterback pretty well. So I'm going to go over maybe 1 or 2 for Houston and 2 or 3 for the Jets, but this is going to be a tight defensive game all the way through.
Gary, you want to take a stab then?
Yeah, I mean, looking at the, you know, I'm trying to think of what I want to say about it, because it really, honestly, I think that when you're looking at the whole process, it's a situation where you're looking at the Texans and you're looking at the Jets both and what they can do. And I think offensively for both these teams, it's going to be a tough sledding. And I think the Texans defense, like Randy just said, they've been red hot, and they kind of make me nervous on especially if I'm, you know, Fitzpatrick, and I'm trying to, you know, make sure that I'm making the right decisions too, because, you know, he just got off surgery and he's trying to make sure he's not getting hit a whole lot too. I think both these quarterbacks are going to be in danger quite a bit during this game.
Well, do you think the Texans will put on a start-worthy performance?
I think so. I think it kind of goes back to what I was saying, because I feel like that they're still going to be able to rush Fitzpatrick, and I think vice versa. I feel like the Jets are going to be able to rush Yates. So I'm really curious to see if this is going to be a defensive game or if it's going to end up being more of an offensive game. Right now, thinking about it, it's going to be defensive, but usually what happens, that means they're going to score 27 apiece, you know, with something 30 points. You never know. So, yes, I do think that you could start the Houston Texans this week and feel pretty comfortable. You could get some extra points on your board because maybe get a interception or fumble for a touchdown. Both teams are going to be, you know, put in that situation.
So, who do we have winning here?
Especially because it's T.J. Yates. Give me the Jets on the road.
That's exactly why I'm choosing the Jets as well. It's Yates, and I just don't know if I'm sold that he's going to be ready for this game.
Yeah, give me the Jets too. So an interesting matchup here, Oakland Raiders and the Detroit Lions. Would you expect a shootout here with these two offenses?
Oh, man. Yeah, I kind of do, especially when you get it in Ford Field, and you know, usually the game plays a little bit faster there. I could definitely see a shootout. I think Derek Carr has a great game. I think Amari Cooper has a great game. It's just whether Stafford can keep up or not. I believe Oakland will probably put up more than 30 points, and it's just whether Detroit's offense shows up or not. So, yeah, I'll say it's more likely to be a shootout than a defensive struggle.
Gary, what is more likely, Calvin Johnson getting a TD and going over 100 yards or Amari Cooper?
I'm going to give it to Amari Cooper. This kid has played out of his mind at times, and I think that he's got the ability in this game to do just that. Calvin Johnson, as great as he is, he hasn't exactly been Calvin Johnson this year. So for me, it is Cooper.
Randy, you go the same way?
Yeah, I'm going Cooper as well.
I'll say Cooper as well, but man, don't sleep on Calvin. I think he's going to have one of these games eventually. Who has the better game, though, Derek Carr or Matthew Stafford?
Yeah, this is difficult because I think we just talked about it. Shootout's very possible. I think both these guys can have some high numbers. But you know what? I've got to give it to the kid who's been playing really well this year. Matthew Stafford's had his moments, but not a whole lot of them. I got to go to Derek Carr. I think that he's going to continue with the success he's had.
All right, who's winning?
Give me the Raiders and give me a Charles Woodson interception.
Ooh, I like that. Yeah, I'm going Raiders too. I think the Detroit, as many points as they can try to score in this game, I don't think they're going to be enough.
I got the Raiders as well. So we got another team with a starting quarterback that was starting at some point during this year. Matt Hasselbeck going against the Atlanta Falcons in Atlanta. How does the Colts defense or offense change without Andrew Luck, Gary?
With Andrew Luck, I mean, you've got a guy that really does a great job controlling the offense, making sure he's got protection called right. I think he's a guy that also gives you just a really, really strong arm. This year, you know, with injuries and things like that, it's not the same Andrew Luck. I think if we're going back last year, I think we can say he is definitely better. This year, I think closer to even playing field, I still think Andrew Luck's better. Hasselbeck has all the experience, but I just don't think he's a complete quarterback when it comes to comparing the two. So Hasselbeck, it can be a game manager, but I don't expect him to be, you know, a guy that's going to blow anybody out of the water. So the difference is a complete package.
Randy, over under 1.5 touchdowns and 200 yards for Matt Hasselbeck.
To me, it's the touchdowns. That's the shaky one. I think he gets at least 200. I mean, nothing a lot more, but he did top 200 in both of his starts this season. The thing that worries me is it is Atlanta off of a bye week, and they have known this entire time that Hasselbeck is going to start. It's not something that is surprising them. So I think their game plan is set around his play style. So I'm going to go under here. I think I don't think he gets more than one touchdown, and he'll be right around that 200-yard mark.
Yeah, I'm right there with Randy. I feel like that, you know, it's not going to be that great of a game for me. I think Hasselbeck will have a decent game. But, you know, I think I'm going to have to definitely take the under on this one.
I'm going to take the under as well. I think the touchdowns are going to make it difficult there. So, in fantasy, who's going to be affected the most by Andrew Luck not being there?
By him not being there? You know, I think T.Y. Hilton's kind of out of this. I really feel like it. I think if I'm going to look at somebody that I think could be successful, I really feel like Moncrief will be your receiver that you're going to want. I think that, you know, Hasselbeck would probably find him more often than not.
Yeah, Andre Johnson was the big guy the last time Hasselbeck started. So
that's true. That's true. He's so easy to forget. I honestly forgot about him myself. I really did. I just blinked on him. But, I mean, I'll stick Moncrief, though. I think he can have a good time.
And of course, Fleener, you know, he's gonna look to his tight ends probably a lot more.
Very true.
So who we have winning here?
I'm going Falcons on this one. I'm with Randy on the fact that they've known that Hasselbeck's gonna be there, and I think that they'll have a pretty. I think that you get a resurgence of Freeman.
Yeah, Atlanta hits their bye week at the perfect time. They were kind of starting to skid a little bit. Go ahead and try to refocus and get a big win at home. Give me Atlanta.
Yeah, I'm going to give it Atlanta, too. In the Dome, that's where they play well. So, moving on here, we got Kansas City in a divisional game against the Kansas City Chiefs against the San Diego Chargers. Kansas City's defense, Randy, has a similar game to last week.
Not a chance. because Philip Rivers is not going to throw just wobbly passes behind his receivers four times.
He does throw interceptions,
though. He does, but I mean, if you go back and watch that Kansas City Denver game, at least three of the four interceptions were gifts. Like you and I could have been on defense and intercepted those passes. Like there was no talent involved in those picks. I do think they make life hell for Philip Rivers. Obviously, the running game is still non-existent for San Diego. It has just not been there. And Kansas City is starting to get healthier on defense. So I do think they have a good game on defense, just not the production that they had against Denver last week.
Well, that being said, Gary, true or false, Philip Rivers has another 300-yard game.
Now I'm going true on this. I think that Kansas City... you know, we've seen him struggle earlier this year, and then we've seen him play a little bit better. But I still think that Philip Rivers is going to find a way to make sure that these guys suffer a little bit. So I feel like, yeah, it's true.
What do you think, Randy?
I'm going to say under. I know he's been topping that 300-yard mark a ton this season. He's averaging 337 a game, but I think Kansas City keeps it under.
Well, Gary, who scores more fantasy points, Travis Kelce or Antonio Gates?
I'm a huge Kelce guy. I think Kelce's great, but this week I've got to go Antonio Brown. And like I said, I think that they're going to find Antonio Brown. My God, Gates. Antonio Gates is the guy because you've seen the connection for years and years, and I think that it's going to continue in this game. I just don't know if Kansas City is going to be able to stop him.
Yeah,
I was going to say Antonio Brown could probably catch passes on his couch.
Right. And Philip Rivers will throw it far enough. Go ahead.
True.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I mean, Antonio Gates is a little banged up, but no Keenan Allen for the rest of the year, no Malcolm Floyd probably for the rest of the year. It's Antonio Gates and Danny Woodhead, really, on this team anymore. So I would say Gates as well.
Well, who's winning?
I'm going San Diego. I think the Bolts will find a way to win.
My Super Bowl prediction is coming back to life. Give me Kansas City.
I have Kansas City. So Kansas City it is. I'm going with that. So another divisional matchup around this 4 o'clock time slot. San Francisco, this is going to be the time slot that's of divisional matchups because they're all in a row here. San Francisco going to Seattle this time on a Sunday afternoon. This is another easy win for Seattle, just like it was on the Thursday night game.
It better be.
If it's not, they got a lot more problems than you ever expected.
Absolutely.
Oh, man. Yeah, this, to me, it's a walkover game for Seattle.
I was, if I haven't brought it up before, I work as a casino dealer, and I had three guys come to my table tonight, and I asked them if they felt like winners when they were sitting down. They're like, no, not really. I go, ah, Seahawks fans. And one of them started flipping me shit. He's like, really? I mean, you really think we're a bad team? He's like, we're going to turn it around. I go, well, you better win on Sunday then. Okay, because exactly what Gary said. It's like, this is a game that Seattle should be able to come in, dominate from the word go, win by 20 points, and then move on and not even worry about it. If this game is close, then it is time for us to go, okay, what is really, really wrong with Seattle? Because now it's not, are they going to make the playoffs? It's, are they going to break up after this year? Is the run now officially over?
So, fact or fiction, Blaine Gabbert leads the 49ers.
False. complete fiction. As happy as it would make me in the Pacific Northwest to see Seattle lose on or at home against San Francisco when they're a 13.5-point favorite against the wonderful Blaine Gabbert. No, there's no way.
Okay. Yeah, no way at all. You don't even have to ask me, honestly.
Just wanted the answer. So is this finally the game where Jimmy Graham goes off?
You know,
please say yes.
You know, it could very well be because, I mean, what are they facing? The defense is not really going to.
That defense is actually not that
bad. It's not bad, but, I mean, I just can see Jimmy Graham having plenty of opportunities at times. I'm not sold that he's going to go off. If your definition of going off is, oh, I don't know, two touchdowns or three touchdowns and, you know, 200 yards receiving or something like, okay, yeah, I mean, I guess you could, but I just don't know if that's going to happen. I think he's going to have a good game. I just don't want to say he's going to go off.
How about a better game than we saw from Julius Thomas tonight?
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Good. I made the right choice. I don't want, in one of my big money leagues where I'm the last playoff spot right now, I decided not to start three Jacksonville Jaguars, so I did not go with Julius Thomas and stuck with Jimmy Graham. And when he scores a touchdown, I went, uh-oh.
Yeah,
I'm hoping Jimmy Graham goes ridiculous, or at least better than the 8.8, I think, that Julius Thomas got me.
Is that how much he got? I couldn't remember the points, actually. 8.8. Yeah, I think Graham can outdo that.
But yeah, we all said Seattle already, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I forgot this game was on here. This might actually be the lock of the week.
Yeah, I agree.
So we got a huge divisional matchup coming on right after this, or right at the same time. Green Bay going to Minnesota. Is this a must win for the Green Bay Packers?
No.
I don't.
As far as must wins,
avoid a four-game slide.
A four-game slide, yes, but it is on the road. I think this was at home. Then it was a must win. You do get that big Week 17 matchup later to try to even things out. It's definitely a big win or a big game for them, and they would absolutely love to win this game. But a must win, I'm going to say no. I don't think if they go out and lose this game that their season's over and they have no chance to make the Super Bowl. I mean, that's what I see as a must win. It's if they lose this game, you just throw the season away. But yes, it's a huge game, absolutely. But it's going to be a tough test for them for sure.
Yeah, it is going to be a tough test. And I just think for the Packers mentally, they've got to win this game because I really feel like if they lose this game, you're going to see that team start to go into some weird mental funk. I think they're already starting to get there a little bit, but I think they're really going to start questioning themselves, even probably even questioning the coaches. just because of the fact they're so used to success. They're so used to be able to take teams and control the team they're facing, and they've not been able to do that, especially on offense, which is their strong point. So I just think, to me, it's got to be a must-win, because you could look at that final game, but it's not going to matter if you're not, doing well.
I agree with you, Gary. That's why I would say it's a must-win, because of that. It's not the whole, well, they have that Week 17 game in Lambeau, whatever. It's for, you don't want to go 0-4 right now in four straight weeks. I mean, that's when you start looking inward and going, what the hell's wrong with us? And they start pointing fingers at people, and it starts becoming an issue. You know, that's a lot of games to lose in a row. You know, yeah, they do have the Lions, I think, after that and whatever. I mean, they have the Bears on Thanksgiving. And, again, that's not a game that, like, it's a total easy-peasy, even though it's in Lambeau, like, game. You know, the way Chicago is playing, especially if Chicago comes off another win against Denver, like, you want to have one of these wins already before you get against your biggest rival on Thanksgiving, where the microscope is going to be so huge on you. I think that's a big deal. So, that being said, we have seen Adrian Peterson not do that well in some of the big games. Fact or fiction, Adrian Peterson goes over 100 yards.
You know what, Sean? I think I would sit at Randy's table and put some chips out on it, because I think I feel a little lucky here. I feel like Adrian Peterson can do it this week. I'm going to go fact. I think that he can actually go over 100. And the reason I say that is not because he's just going to just have a breakout game. Don't think that at all. I think that Bridgewater is going to need him to have 100 yards rushing. I feel like it. I think they're going to have to let him do his thing. That way they can have a balance in this game. So I'm going to go ahead and say fact.
Well, if you sit down at my table, Gary, I do like to, when asked, you know, give a little bit of advice and a little bit of statistical knowledge that I have on the game. So I'll give one to you here. Adrian Peterson has rushed for over 200 yards 6 times in his career. He did it last week. The game following that, he's averaging 72 yards a game.
Fair enough. That's a good stat. And
that's food for thought.
You're going fiction, then?
I would go fiction.
Fair enough.
I'm going to go with that stat, too. So, but can you trust anyone on the Packers right now besides Aaron Rodgers, Gary, in fantasy?
I think the other guy, if I'm going to pick anybody else off this roster, and I just don't think you can trust Starks this week. I think Davante Adams, he just seems to be the guy that Aaron Rodgers constantly targets and looks at. I think he's the only other guy that I would say for sure you're going to want to start.
How come I knew you were going to say Davante Adams?
It's the proof in the pudding, man. He loves this kid.
I was sitting here in my head trying to get my Gary impression down so I could say Eddie Lacy in his voice. Just
Eddie Lacy. I'm not an Eddie Lacy fan.
I didn't want to say it, but I wanted to sound like Gary was giving out that advice. But yeah. I don't have his voice down yet.
Keep working on it.
Gary's good at doing impressions, so he can make you, do it in other different voices that aren't his. So, prediction time. I have the Vikings on this one. I think the Packers are going to go down again.
Listen, the Packers have not lost back-to-back divisional matchups since 2005. I think Adrian Peterson struggles a little bit. It sounds like Aaron Rodgers looked a lot better in practice yesterday after taking Wednesday off. Not a must-win, but it's a big one. I think Aaron Rodgers steps up. Give me Green Bay on the road in less, a field goal or less difference in the score.
Even if my prediction's right and Adrian Peterson gets his 700-yard game, I still got to go with Green Bay. I feel like they think this is important. I know Aaron Rodgers knows it's important, and I'm going to go with them on this one. But if we were doing college rankings, you know, how this would definitely be a one or two for me this week.
Well, I mean, this is important for Minnesota, too. They don't want to go into that game in Lambeau having to win that game.
Mm-hmm.
So, but speaking of, another must win, or well, it's not a must win at all, but Another big game, Sunday Night Football. Cincinnati Bengals, this has been a flexed game. This wasn't the original Sunday Night Football game here. Cincinnati Bengals going into Arizona to play the Red Hot Cardinals. Now, I've heard different people have takes on this, and I wanted y'all's two takes on two spots where the Bengals and Cardinals are somewhat equal. Gary, who has the better wide receiver core, the Bengals or the Cardinals?
Oh, that is a really tough question, to be honest with you. I don't know if I can pick the right one. I like them both. AJ Green, how can you go wrong with AJ Green? How can you really go with Marvin Jones or Sanu? I mean, those guys are talented. They make things happen. I'm just going to throw this out there, and people can disagree with me or what, but I just think when you got Fitzgerald, what's his name, Brown? John Brown.
John Brown.
Trevon, both those guys can do just tremendous job. John Brown's the one I'm really looking at. And then, of course, you can't forget about Floyd. Floyd has made things happen. He's been available in the red zone. I am going to edge it over to the Cardinals, but I will say, I mean, they're pretty equal in my book.
You didn't even name Tyler Eifert and all that stuff with the Bengals there. So.
Oh, well, I did think about tight ends. I thought receiving core, I always think of receivers. I don't ever think of the tight ends.
Gresham's not too bad over there on the Cardinal side either.
So. You know what? It really remakes me think, and now I have to edge it over. If we're adding the tight end in, I've got to go with the Cincinnati because of Eifert. I mean, Eifert's just too good. Gresham's all right, but I mean, Eifert to me gives you a double boost.
Randy, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm going almost all in with the Cardinals receivers. Obviously, you have the leadership of Fitzgerald, like you said, Michael Floyd, especially in the last few weeks, has been absolutely red hot. John Brown hurt last week, but he's a ridiculous playmaker. And John Brown comes in last week, and it makes it feel like they're not even missing a Brown. He goes out and gets the job done. So when you have four legit guys that Carson Palmer can go to, if you want to just get away from the receiver core and you have Ellington in the backfield that can break it away with anything of a dump pass, I like the weapons of Arizona a bit better than Cincinnati.
I was going to say Arizona too, and then not to mention you have all three of those tight ends work with Palmer. Whereas you see he kind of, Dalton sort of only throws to Eifert on the tight end front mostly, like, you know, we've seen all three of those tight ends get touchdowns for Arizona, and then you throw in the wide receivers, and that's a plethora of things going on there. So I'm going to go Arizona on that front. But on the other end, which is the better defense, Arizona's versus Bengals?
I think I'm going Arizona still. I like Arizona's defense a ton. I mean, everything about them. I love, the way they rush and keep at it. I mean, they're they run stoppers. I mean, everything about a defense is what the Cardinals have. Cincinnati has a pretty good defense as well, but I could see weaknesses here and there, and they've overcome them. But for me, the Cardinals are the more solid.
Yeah, give me Arizona too. I mean, just everything he said is spot on. I think Cincinnati creates more pressure. They sack the quarterback a bit more, but just all around, Arizona just has, I think, the better defense here.
Yeah, I think Arizona wins that fight. So who has the better game, though, Carson Palmer or Andy Dalton?
For me, it's Palmer. Andy Dalton, we've seen him have a better year this year, but like you pointed out, Sean, he's got so many weapons, even these tight ends. Every one of his tight ends he's used, he's gotten the ball in the end zone. I think I trust Palmer more than I do Andy Dalton in this game.
All right. Prediction time.
Give me Arizona at home.
Yeah, I got to go Arizona too. I mean, I've been rooting for Cincinnati. I want to see them do well, but I just don't think this is the game.
Arizona at home is really rough to go against Arizona. So we got Monday Night Football, another divisional matchup. Buffalo Bills traveling to Gillette Stadium. And the New England, the Patriots. Does the Patriots offense change at all in this game without having Julian Edelman?
No. I mean, that's the thing with New England. It just does not matter who goes out. They just find ways to just make it work. I mean, they lose Deion Lewis, and it doesn't really hurt them that much. I know their game against the Giants was extremely close, but just that's what the Giants are. I mean, they are the kryptonite to New England, it seems like. It's either really close or they beat them. Here, you know, they're going to pencil some extra stuff in, look for Brandon LaFell to get into the picture a bit more as long as he can, you know, cure his drops. And a lot of Gronk and a lot of Blount in the backfield and Tom Brady just being Tom Brady. Buffalo's defense is great, but I don't think it changes anything that the Patriots game plan for.
Well, Gary, over under 2.5 rushing, I mean, this has been Buffalo's thing. Over under 2.5 rushing TDs for Buffalo.
You know, I'm going to go under, and don't get me wrong. I mean, everything you said right there, Sean, is right, but I really feel like it's going to be Tyrod Taylor having to pass the ball more majority of this game. I really feel like New England's going to find a way to get ahead in this game and think they're going to do it early. So I don't know if they're going to be able to run the ball as much as they want to get those 2 or 2.5 touchdowns.
All right. Well, who steps up? Who's going to be? Well, you already talked about it, Randy. But who's going to be the guy that replaces or tries to step up instead of Julian Edelman?
It's Amendola. It's got to be Amendola. I mean, just everybody. You know, you hear the cliche in every NFL locker room: next man up. But let's be honest: the only real team we know that really works with is the New England Patriots. So I think Amendola is the guy up, and we've seen him have some success. He had some success filling for Edelman last week. You're going to see it more this week.
So are you starting LaFell then too?
I think LaFell's great too. I mean, LaFell's going to be there. He definitely picked his game up too last week. So I think both those players are great. I every time I think of Julian Edelman, I think of Amendola as being of like skill set. So that's why I always say Amendola. But yes, definitely, if you want another receiver out there that you want to pick up, hey, LaFell could be a good pickup.
All right. Prediction time. Is this the week that New England loses the undefeated
streak? No.
Yeah, I'm right there with Randy. It's not going to happen this week.
Nope, not happening this week either. All right, that does it. That's our Week 11 preview. Let's get on to talking about the college football games happening this week.
Oh, boy, do we have some good ones this week. Saturday is going to be fun. So let's get right into it. College pick-ems for this week. How about we talked about it right before the podcast went on as I was messing around with my confidence picks, and I'm sure I will mess around with them some more. I just want to put them all at a 2 because I have no idea. All these matchups either are between two amazing teams fighting it out for either conference titles or try to get to the playoffs, or it's a better team on the road, which is always tough in college football. So let's get right to it. Number 21, Memphis at Temple, both teams with tough losses last week. But give me Temple at home. They still have a shot to win this conference. I have it as a 3 for now, but who knows? Sean?
I have it as an 8, and I'm going to say Memphis.
Yeah, you know, I was looking at this game and trying to figure out as well, but you know, I feel like I got to go with Temple.
All right, how about number 12, Michigan at Penn State? I still think Michigan is really going on all cylinders. They struggled a little bit last week, but still got the win. Give me them on the road at an 8.
I have them as my 10, Michigan over Penn State.
Yeah, I feel pretty confident. I mean, I think I'd put them at a 10 as well, Michigan.
How about this Pac-12 that just drives me nuts. UCLA at number 13, Utah. Gary, does UCLA come up with an upset here?
Ooh, that's a difficult one. And I looked at this and I kind of thought about it myself. And I think I still have to go with Utah here. I would love to say UCLA, but UCLA's had some issues.
I have this as my two. I'm going to say Utah.
I have it as my two as well. And it's because it is the Pac-12 and they have just not figured out that they have to have one dominant team. So give me UCLA on the road because they're the unranked team here. It just seems to be the way it goes in the Pac-12 these days. Louisville at Pittsburgh. I love Pittsburgh. I like the way they're playing. This is my 10.
I have it as my 7. I'm going to say Pittsburgh.
Oh, man. Another tough one, but yeah, I think you guys are right. I mean, I'll go Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I like the way they bounce back. They lose to North Carolina. They lose to Notre Dame, two extremely good teams in their own right. But then they go into Duke and dominate. And I think they're not in that ranking discussion. But they're one of the top 40 teams in the country, which right now is quite the separation. Which doesn't matter because every team makes a bowl. But how about number 20 Northwestern at number 25 Wisconsin? This might move up a little bit higher in my ranks as the next couple days go on, but I have it as a 5 right now. But give me Wisconsin.
I have Wisconsin as my 5 as well.
Yep, Wisconsin.
All right, Sean, go ahead and talk about your Arkansas team. They're at home against Mississippi State. They've been driving you nuts for a while, then they go out and completely blow out LSU. Is this a letdown game for Arkansas?
I don't think so. I think they're starting to catch their stride here. It's in Fayetteville, so they have the advantage there. The house is going to be rocking. I think they win. I have it as my 9.
Gary?
You know what? I've followed Razorbacks for a little while because not only Sean, but I have other friends who are Razorback fans. Give me the Razorbacks.
Yeah, I have it as a 9 as well. Give me Arkansas. All right, to me, the four really big games this week, number 24 USC at number 23 Oregon. If I could pick a tie, I would. Give me Oregon at home. I think they're starting to get things figured out. They had the injuries early on in the year. But the offense has started to figure stuff out. They get the big win at Stanford last week. So give me Oregon at home.
Yeah, I have it as my 6. I'm going to go with Oregon too.
Yeah, I think Oregon is kind of doing a little bit better than they were. I think they feel more confident. I got to go with Oregon.
And then the three games that have huge playoff implications. How about number 10 Baylor at number 6 Oklahoma State? Gary, does Oklahoma State stay undefeated?
I think so. I think Baylor's kind of seen that they're going to have some issues here or there. I don't know that they can overcome that big defeat last week. I'm going to go Oklahoma State.
I'm going to go Oklahoma State too, but I have it as my 1 because it's Baylor, and you know, even though they have the backup quarterback right now, just you know, who knows? That Big 12 is crazy.
Yeah, absolutely. I have it as a 6 right now. I think Oklahoma State coming off that scare against Iowa State, I think, really refocuses them, which I don't think they need that much focus, you know, coming up against Baylor here. But like you said, Baylor, backup quarterback, didn't look that great against Oklahoma. So I'm taking Oklahoma State here. Number 18, TCU at number 7, Oklahoma. I love Oklahoma here. They are extremely strong. I think once it comes down to it, this is your best chance for a Big 12 team to make the playoffs. So give me Oklahoma here, and I believe it's my 7.
I have it as my 4, but Oklahoma.
Yeah, Oklahoma showed a lot last week to me. I got to go Oklahoma.
All right, and here we go. Probably the main event. Number 9, Michigan State against undefeated number 3, Ohio State, your defending champions. Sean, is there any possible way Michigan State pulls the upset on the road?
Well, Michigan State can pull the upset. I mean, I don't think it's going to happen, but they can do it. I mean, last year, a lot of people thought that they could do it as well. I'm going to say Ohio State. I have it as my 3. Not too confident, but yeah. I mean, I think Ohio State keeps winning here.
Gary?
I am not as confident either. I just don't know that, you know, Michigan State's going to pull it off in the end. I think they're going to get close, but I got to go Ohio.
I really wish that Michigan State didn't blow that game at Nebraska a couple weeks ago, and we had two big undefeated teams going at it here. This is my one because I am going to say Michigan State does pull it off and they get the upset, but I have zero confidence in it at all.
Well, that's it for college football as far as the pick-ems and everything, but what are you most looking forward to this weekend? Is it those college games, or is there something in the NFL that...
I think it's the college slate. I think now that we're getting down to it, we only have a couple more weeks of the regular season, you know, before the big conference championship games and stuff. And now this is the nitty-gritty. This is where teams not only are trying to win games, but they're trying to impress that committee and try to figure out what they like to see and really make their point to be in that Final Four. So to me, it is definitely Saturday is what I'm looking forward to this week.
I'm not far from what Randy's saying. I've been enjoying this college season. It's been a blast. I've watched it more than ever, and it's just been thoroughly fun. But, you know, to kind of add a little flavor into this, I'll also say, you know, I think that Green Bay-Minnesota game is one I'm circling on the calendar to watch. It's going to be really cool to you know, get an idea of what we could be seeing getting closer to the playoffs and who's going to be leading in this division. So I think I got the game circled.
Well, I'll be doing the rabble. I don't know if it's by myself or with Brandon, but I'll be doing it one way or the other for that game, the Green Bay and Minnesota. So it should be fun to do and fun to watch because that one's going to be a lot of intensity going on between those two teams. And, of course, can't say that I'm not excited not only to watch Arkansas, but Tony Romo's coming back, Gary, and I'm not going to get old Michael Irvin go crazy, but Tony Romo's coming back.
Yeah. Be fun to see what he can do.
Yeah. All right. Well, that does it for this week. Good to be back on the regular schedule. Speaking of regular show, we're going to get off our regular schedule a little bit next week. We will be fine for the Monday night, Tuesday morning review of week 11, but for week 12, I'm working a Thursday morning as of right now. They could change it again, so who knows? As of right this moment, I'm only working Thursday morning, and then I'm off on Friday, on Black Friday. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know what you're looking at, Randy. I mean, is your Thursday packed, or what is that looking at for you?
Other than lots of naps and football, I'm pretty open.
I know, Gary, you're going to be at the in-laws, so that's going to be really difficult for you to do. I hate to have to change the day because that really affects the people listening and everything, but I think we're going to have to do it on the Friday just to kind of get out of the Thanksgiving night, give everybody the night to relax and whatever they want to do, get that tryptophan working in there and all that stuff. I think we are going to stick with the Friday night for this week. I know that really hurt us, you know, last week when we had to do it. But, hey, you know, holidays, things change. You know, we'll have that same problem for Christmas because Christmas is on Friday and Christmas Eve is on Thursday. So we're going to have to figure out something for that. But, you know, we'll get to that when it comes. But, yeah, so look for us Monday like normal or Tuesday morning like normal. And then we won't be around until Saturday, so I know what we're going to do with those college things, but yeah. All right, well, you know, you can check us out, WTM Network. Look at that Facebook page. You can go like it, and you'll get all the stuff that either we write or is done podcast-wise. You can also go to WTM Network on YouTube, where we have, you know, this podcast, the wrestling podcast that we just got done talking about, all the TV change moves with the TNA and ROH and previewing that big Survivor Series saver you that's happening on Sunday. And then you know, we did a co-op multi today, talking everything about that Nintendo Direct and doing some gaming journalism talk because apparently there's some crazy things going on with Kotaku and them getting blacklisted, so that was weird to talk about, and a few other things that are going on. Now there's emulation coming to the PS4 from the PS2 that's happening. So that's going to be interesting to see how quickly or slowly Sony's going to be rolling that thing out. And we'll, you know, like I said, we'll be back on Monday, Tuesday. I still don't know what's going to happen with those rivals because Brandon said he was busy, and I don't know how I'm going to feel about doing a whole game of myself. But I don't know. I might do it just to see how it goes. But either way, you know, Randy also discusses, you know, whether it's old games or relatively new games, he's got them all on his podcast, telling people about it.
Yeah, exactly what you say. If you want to listen to two nerds talk about a couple of video games every 2 weeks, definitely check out backlogbusting.com, where it's exactly that. We play a couple games in that 2 week span and get on and talk about it, from everything from NES to PlayStation 4 and everything in between, from fighting games to RPGs to adventure games to everything. I mean, no holds barred in that. I mean, if you're a fan of video games, definitely check out that site.
Man, I think that direct might actually get me to buy a Wii U, even though I feel like I probably should, because that NX might show up pretty soon. But I don't know. They keep damn freaking cloud showing up as fast. But yeah. So well, that does it for this set. Of the preview. We'll be back on Tuesday morning with a review. And until then, see you later, everybody.